Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suryoday Small Finance Bank Q2 and H1 FY 2025 earnings conference call hosted by Centrum Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanmaya. Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Suryoday Small Finance Bank Q2 FY 2025 earnings call. On behalf of Centrum Broking, I would like to thank the management of Suryoday for giving us this opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us the entire top management team of Suryoday SFB, represented by Mr. Bhaskar Babu Ramachandran, MD and CEO, Mr. Hemant Shah, Executive Director, Mr. Kanishka Chaudhary, CFO, and Mr. Himadri Das, IR Head. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Bhaskar Babu for his opening remarks, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shailesh. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Suryoday Small Finance Bank Limited's Q2 and H1 FY 2025 earnings conference call. We appreciate your time in joining the call. I, along with our team, extend our wishes for the coming festive season. I hope you had a chance to review our financial results and investor presentation, both of which are available on our website and on the stock exchanges. Let me now provide an overview of Suryoday's performance for Q2 and H1 of FY 2025. I will now take you through the half-year numbers. Our gross advances stood at rupees 9,360 crores, which is a year-on-year increase of 35.2% as compared to rupees 6,921 crores. The disbursements were at rupees 3,421 crores, up 22.7% from rupees 2,787 crores. Disbursements remained strong across all segments, particularly in Vikas loans, Wheels, and mortgages. Notably, Vikas loan disbursements reached rupees 942 crores, an increase of 19.6% from rupees 787 crores year-on-year basis. Our deposit base has also expanded, standing at rupees 8,851 crores, which is a 38.6% increase from rupees 6,387 crores year-on-year basis. The share of retail deposits now stands at 80.2% as of September 2024, compared to 77.6% a year earlier. Also, our CASA ratio has improved to 17.9%, up from 15.7% in September 2024, year-on-year basis. Collection efficiency for H1 FY 2025 stood at 93.9% as against 96% in H1 FY 2024, primarily due to overall market scenario in the microfinance segment. Our gross NPA remained stable at 2.9% as of September 2024, compared to September 2023. The net NPA has improved to 0.8%, down from 1.4% a year earlier. Of the total GNPAs of rupees 273 crores as at September 2024, GNPAs covered under the Credit Guarantee Scheme CGFMU is approximately 190 crores, and the amount claimable would be approximately rupees 140 crores. Now let's move on to our financial performance. Our total income increased by 29.6% year-on-year, rising from rupees 548.5 crores to rupees 710.8 crores. Our net interest income, or NII, increased by 33.1%, moving from rupees 445.8 crores to rupees 593.2 crores year-on-year. The pre-provision operating profit increased 28.3% from rupees 211.4 crores to rupees 271.2 crores year-on-year. As of September 2024, our cost of funds stood at 7.6%, up from 7.2% in September 2023. The cost-to-income ratio for H1 FY 2025 was 61.8%, slightly higher than 61.5% for the corresponding period last year. Profit after tax increased by 17.9% year-on-year from 97.9 crores to rupees 115.5 crores. We continue to maintain a healthy capital position with the CRAR at 24.9%, well above the regulatory requirement of 15%. Our customer base has grown to around 3.24 million as of September 24 compared to around 2.51 million in September 23, a 29% increase. Vikas loan portfolio saw steady growth supported by strong traction in the wheels and mortgage segments. On the deposit mobilization side, industry is facing competition, and to tackle this challenge, we have been constantly upgrading and innovating our product portfolio. Overall, the microfinance industry is passing through a challenging phase of asset quality deterioration, but we, through our prudent underwriting and robust risk management practices, endeavor to maintain healthy asset quality. The bank continues to cover its eligible unsecured portfolio under the CGFMU scheme to mitigate risks. We as an institution believe in digital innovation to cater to the changing needs of our customers. Our inclusive finance loan disbursement process is completely digital and paperless. On the deposits front, we have invested in digital banking infrastructure, which helps us source digital deposits through various platforms. In parallel, we continue to focus on widening our reach by adding new branches each year across the country. During the quarter, we opened our very first retail banking branch in Jaipur, which signifies a commitment to expand the footprint in northern India. We also have opened smart banking outlets in certain micro markets. These SBOs are customer touch points which offer all banking services but have a focused target segment within 2 km radius. We remain committed to deliver better performance across all business performance parameters. I now hand it over back to the moderator and Shailesh to begin the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deepak Agrawal from Param Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So my first question was on the MFI portfolio. So a very large part of that we have insured under the CGFMU scheme. Now, obviously, credit costs have been high for you this quarter. Now, just to understand...
Mr. Deepak... Sorry to interrupt. I would request you to please speak a little louder since you are not clearly audible.
Okay, let me try again. So my first question was on the MFI portfolio. As I understand, a very large part of that is insured under the CGFMU scheme. Now, how much of the provisions which we have accounted for this year, or at least in the first half, would be eligible under the insurance claim, which, as I understand, will be done in FY26.
Hi, morning, Deepak. As we have indicated in our investor presentation as well, about 190 odd crores of our NPAs from the MFI book are covered under the CGFMU program, and the likely claim that will be settled, hopefully all things going fine, will be in the range of around 135 to 140 crores.
And this money you'll get it in somewhere in FY26, right?
Yeah, so we would make a claim typically in Q1 or Q2 of next year, and that's when we will get the money.
Okay, and so how does it work? So essentially, you will have to provide, I'm assuming, a little more in Q3 as well, right? Typically, it should peak out in Q3. So you'll have to first provide, then end of the year you'll claim. So this number will also move ahead, right? That 190, 135.
So if we talk of credit cost, you will see that our cumulative credit cost in first half of the year is around 120 odd crores. We expect the number in second half to be in the range of 100-110 crores. That will be the total cumulative credit cost that we'll have in the year. That will translate to about, you know, a 2% credit cost on the balance sheet. And out of that, somewhere in the range of 135 to 140 crores will be eligible for a claim settlement for us in H1 of next year.
Deepak, in summary, while we continue to account it as GNPA and make provisioning of 50% once IF portfolio becomes NPA, the recovery of that will happen, which is covered in the CGFMU in Q1 or Q2 as we claim in the next year. We choose to claim either in Q1 or Q2. But however, the claimable portion is not accounted for in our current GNPA and NPA calculation. We make the provisioning as if they were not covered in the CGFMU.
Got it. And next year, even today, as we speak today, the incremental portfolio, what we continue to originate, we are taking this insurance cover. Right?
Yes. Yeah. 100% of the incremental portfolio gets covered under the program as of today.
Currently, of the first outstanding, 98% of the portfolio gets covered under CGFMU. Just to give the gross slippages in this portfolio in IF, which is covered under CGFMU, approximately 120 crores. The entire thing is covered, which means 70% of 120 crores, approximately 80 crores, for which we have provided around 70 crores this quarter, is kind of a claimable in Q1.
Got it. And whenever the claim comes, it will get reported as part of other income, right? Or you will knock it off from the...
No, we knock it off from the credit cost. Like for Q1 this year, we got a claim of 32 crores in Q1. It came as a credit to the credit cost line, and then we made additional provisions as well.
Got it. And so, considering now the stress visible in the MFI, I would assume a lot more of your competitors would be looking to secure their portfolios under the scheme. So is it that the insurance premium for you and for the system goes up in terms of, because suddenly now there will be a lot more people looking to get covered under the scheme?
The premiums are fairly fixed based on the claim ratio for the first 3 years. However, while we'll not be able to comment in terms of the coverage that we taken up by our peers, but the fact is that the very purpose for which it has been introduced is for covering the segment, the lower income group segment, entrepreneurial segment, to come into the formal credit fold. So to that extent, it is, in our view, it is fully and well funded. And the premium we would have paid, including for this year's projected, would be around closer to 125 crores. And similarly, I think, as you would know, there is the first year when you cover, it's called the base year, and the second year is the acceleration year. You can make a claim only after 1 year after the portfolio is crystallized. So there is a timing. So assuming that an institution starts today, the claim technically can happen at the earliest in 12 to 18 months, 18 months.
Right. Okay. Good. So, and in terms of growth, do you see any reason that we should cut the growth to more like 20-25% rather than the 30-35% what we are doing right now? Considering MFI has been under stress, I understand the secured books should continue to grow fine. Just that because of the MFI, you could see some cut in the growth as well.
The projected growth was around closer to 20% in IF. Let us assume for a moment that now we scale that down to closer to around 15%. At the lower end of 30, closer to probably 28-29, we will not, certainly for ensuring that we meet the guidance, we are not going to be accelerating as we did. But however, if you look at the collection of the month of September, for every month sequentially, I think even for the industry, every month was slightly worse than the previous month starting from April. There has been a stability of at least maintaining what it was in August and September, a marginal increase. But remained the same almost for the sector, certainly for us. For instance, in JLG, 97.8% was our collection in August 24th. In the current bucket, it remained same at 97.7% in September. In October, as we speak on 25th, we see a little improvement, probably inching up closer to around 98.5%, and we are endeavoring to close it at 99%. Same way with the VL, remained flat in terms of current bucket collection efficiency at 97.3% in August, and similar number in September. So even if I go back to the July number, which will be around closer to 98.4, and June number will be 98.5. The deterioration, whatever has happened at this point of time, looks like it is over. But however, whatever has already flown into the various buckets, we have to ensure that those buckets don't slip over into the 90 plus as the NPA bucket. We will have to cut when across the board, there will be substantial improvement on us for we will closer to 98.5 to 99. Is what you're enduring in October. If you're able to maintain that for the quarter, the future slippages in Q4 will taper off. The peaking will happen in Q2, and Q3 probably will continue at the same momentum.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Pranav Gupta from Ionis Alpha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Pranav.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions around MFI. You mentioned the collection efficiency in the current bucket being close to 98%. But when we talk about the forward flows, are we seeing incremental recoveries come down compared to what it was, say, probably 6-9 months ago? Or has that trend also continued to be similar to what it was earlier?
In the 1 to 30 bucket collection, there has been a deterioration. For the reason that the spillover from the current bucket used to be less than 0.4, 0.5, which when it moves to 1 and 1.5% to 2%, 2.5% actually speaking in September, that will be assessed in terms of the higher bucket collection. So to the extent there has been a drop in percentage, as it tapers down, we would believe that the collection efficiency in the 1 to 30 bucket, which used to be hovering around closer to 70%, should at least go back to at least 60% in, if not in October, at least by November.
Right, right. So, and when we talk about the stress that the industry is facing currently, clearly it's at least as of now, it seems that it's mainly an over leveraging problem where a lot of lenders have come in and become the fourth, fifth, sixth lender, and post which MFIN came out with the guardrails in April. Have we seen how has the response on the ground been from most lenders? Have we seen people ease off in terms of lending? Is it getting followed in the incremental book?
Okay, Shashi.
So, first and foremost thing, if you look at the PIN code level, right, across the industry, 95% of the PIN codes got more than 20 lenders. So even though at an industry level, only 4 to 5% of the loan book is more than 4 loans, there are enough and more lenders in a particular market. That's a fundamental understanding. Even if you take industry level data, at PIN code level, nearly 75% of the PIN codes got more than 40 lenders. So the customer got a lot of choice to exercise, though they are not necessarily over-leveraging. So there is an understanding that there is an over-leverage. Over-leverage is not necessarily so high in terms of number of loans. The challenge is more in terms of the options available to the customer. So the larger guidelines are more in terms of not lending it to leverage customers in the market or par customers in the market. So as the industry tightens this, as the supply to the customer starts coming down, we should be able to see a different lift in the market.
Right.
For now, I think across the industry, there is a clear understanding that the guardrails are really kind of ensuring and protecting all the players and specifically the customers. So to the extent it has voluntarily, there has been an implementation, as you see, across the board. We are not seeing any deviations because clearly highly leveraged customers, the slippages are 3 to 4 times of the slippages in the customer segment, which is borrowed from no more than 1 or 2 or maximum 3.
Right. So the reason I'm asking this question is because, in earlier cycles, typically, at least this is the sense that we get on the ground earlier, customers understood the fact that, eventually if they do not repay, they are not going to get more credit. But in this cycle, this time around, because of the factors that you mentioned earlier, a lot of customers have had that confidence that even if we don't pay back, there are other lenders who are willing to give us money. And that is probably the base of where these MFIN guardrails are coming in. That's the only reason I was asking the question, to understand it a bit better. But anyways, just to move to the next and my last question, some of the lenders have also spoken about some pockets of stress coming in on the small ticket mortgage, and this is mainly their assessment is the fact that mainly inflation has eaten into incomes of people, and that has effectively made the FOIR for those borrowers higher. Are we also seeing these sort of trends play out for our customer set?
Our portfolio is too small at this point of time, just about around 300 crores of our overall 9,000 crores portfolio. So to that extent, it may not really be reflecting the trends in the market. Currently, we are at around 0.5 GNPA. There is certainly a marginal uptick from what would have been earlier 0.25 has gone to 0.5. While the 0.5 is still very much under control, to the question that yes, that it is reflecting in a marginal increase, but our portfolio being at just 300 crores may not be really reflective of what's really happening or being felt in the market segment as a whole.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible.
Yes, Deepak.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just first up, I wanted to understand, you mentioned earlier, I think, the credit cost, we are expecting around 110 crores in the second half and 120 crores we reported in the first half. So overall for the entire year, we are expecting about 230 crores kind of a credit cost, right?
Yeah.
And that's about 2% credit cost is what. So
yes.
Does that include any kind of benefit from credit guarantee schemes or it is as on reported basis that you are expecting?
As is reported, if you adjust it for 140 crores which we stated, so 210 minus 140 crores would be around 80 crores, which is approximately 0.8-0.9% of our loan book.
Correct.
And
correct.
We started taking the CGFM from cover from the year FY23, and cover continued in FY24 and doing it in FY25. And intent, as we even stated earlier, was not to do any cherry pick the portfolio, but to cover the entire portfolio, considering the cyclicality that we could face. So when we took, probably the expected credit losses are not more than probably 100 basis points. And the premium also to around closer to 150 basis points. We still chose to consider it as an investment rather than an expense item. And the benefits of which is usually seen during challenging times like what we have been going through in the last 6 months.
Correct. But since you started taking the benefit from FY23 onwards, so any kind of, the loan loss that would have happened in that year, you are getting any kind of benefit in this year from credit guarantee schemes?
Yeah, we did. So in Q1, we got a claim of 32 crores. And we basically utilized that amount to further, enhance our provisioning and floating provision. So that's been our strategy this year. Next year, the number is going to be significantly higher. So we will have to decide at that time how much of that money we keep aside for further provisioning.
Okay, and so for this entire year, what sort of claim we are expecting, which was 32 crores in first quarter?
So as of today, we expect a claim of around 150 odd crores.
FY25, 150 crores claim, right?
Yeah.
So when we are saying credit cost of 230 crores for entire year, here this 150 crores of claim is adjusted, right? Ideally.
We are not adjusting in accounting now. As we get next year on cash basis, we will use it for provisioning as KC was mentioning.
Okay. So I'm a little confused here. So we are getting this 150 crores claim for FY25, right?
Yeah. So the 230 crores of credit cost projection for the entire year does not take into account a likely credit claim of 140 crores that we'll get next year.
And what sort of ROA we are expecting for this year, FY25? I think our guided range was 2.2 to 2.3%. Now
shared above 2% is what we are targeting for now on a full year basis.
This is without adjusting for the claims that we kind of will be getting quarter one. So adjust for that, it will be closer to around 2.7, 2.8. But net of that, it will be closer to 2%. 1.92 is what, without accounting for the benefits of credit guarantee. Though the fee which we pay, the insurance fee which we pay, is adjusted for in the year in which we make a payment, which is in FY25.
Okay. So without any kind of accounting for this scheme benefit, we are expecting 1.9 to 2%, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And why our other income was lower this quarter at 48 crores? I think last two quarters we were in the range of 65-70 crores, right?
Right. So one reason is that, typically the PSLC fair income is higher in Q1. We had 26 crores of income from PSLC in Q1 and as against only 6 crores this time. The second is the disbursements have been a little bit muted as well, especially in the MFI. So the processing fees have come down a little bit.
Okay, understood. And how do we see that going forward?
No, so the disbursements will clearly pick up in Q3 and Q4, but we do not anticipate any significant income from sale of PSLC certificates in the second half of the year.
Second half, so no, no major PSLC income then?
Yes.
Then ideally your other income will be in this range only, and right.
Yeah.
It will be higher to an extent of increased disbursements, which usually Q3 is usually better than Q2, and Q4 is substantially better than Q2.
Okay. Okay, understood. And what is our, I mean, secured book share right now? And what is our view on that?
Yeah. So currently the mix is 56% unsecured and 44% secured. Our idea is that, you know, we in the first instance reach a stage of 55-45, and medium to long term, we would ideally like to maintain a 50-50 mix between the secured and unsecured book. And continuing with the strategy of covering the unsecured book under the CGFMU scheme.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And this 50% secured book target is for next 2 years?
Yeah, somewhere around 18 months from now.
18 months. 18 months. And understood. And just my final query is on, I mean, in MFI segment, largely which state we are seeing problem?
For this time, the stress is seen across, including in states like Karnataka, there has been an increase. So we are not present in some of the states where the stress is for a little more acute. So across the board, we are already seeing either in Tamil Nadu or in Orissa. We are not seeing any substantial spikes except in the state where we operate, which is Gujarat, where there's been a substantial increase compared to what it was in the past. But other than that, the rest of the states, there are nothing which are acutely impacted. And we are not present in some of the highly impacted states at this point of time, which is in the north of India.
And Kerala.
And Kerala.
So across we are seeing the stress, right? I mean, in one word.
Yes. It's uniform, I would say. I would, rather than saying that the stress across, whatever is the impact that we're seeing on the credit cost or increase in slippages is uniform across compared to the portfolio in each of the states.
Understood. Fair enough. Fair enough. I think, yeah, and I mean, as mentioned in the presentation, we are expecting, we are maintaining 30-35% growth guidance for this year, right, in terms of advances?
Towards the lower end.
Towards the lower end, yeah.
28-29%. Even if we continue current disbursements, which we do without even much accelerating, we are likely to end up in the 25-26% range. And usually Q4 disbursement will be higher. But however, if the environment continues to be challenging in the inclusive finance, we would rather taper that towards the Q4. But as we see Q3, the disbursements are likely to be higher, marginally at least, over Q2, as far as inclusive finance is concerned. The rest of the products like wheels and mortgages continue to kind of have a decent traction. And on wheels, as you would see, that our GNPA still is around 0.6, and we disburse around close to 70 crores. Our intent is to open up a few more geographies where we're already operational, but not operational for commercial vehicle. So wanting to kind of have a run rate of closer to 100 crores toward end of March from current 70 crores, marginally going up by 5 to 6 crores every month.
Understood. Understood. That's very clear. I think that's very helpful. I think, thank you so much. That's it from my side. All the way best to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. So before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, before we would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Deepak from Novel. Please go ahead. Mr. Deepak, your line is unmuted. You may please go ahead with your question. Since there is no response, we will go ahead with the next question, which is from the line of Swaroop from Retail. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, with respect to CGFMU claim, earlier you had mentioned that it will be calculated based on the write-off figure which we make. Considering from Q1 of FY24 till Q2 of FY25, we have made around 250 crore write-off. So even if we consider like a lot, 75% weight to unsecured book out of that 250 crore. So 250 into 75% into 72.75% will be around 190 crore. Is that the right way to calculate, sir?
Yeah, that is the right way, but you would remember that we have already made claims up to December 2023 in the month of June, and we got a claim of 32 crores out of that. So so our next claim will be for the period from January 2024.
Okay, January 2024. Understood, sir. Sir, my next question is with respect to this one, sir, ECLGS. Any update on ECLGS books, sir? Like earlier you had your guidance of 2.5% GNPA which you are giving, is it because of the ECLGS refund that it is boosting your confidence to give the guidance, sir?
Yeah, so now we are left with a very small ECLGS book. So in our NPAs today, it comprises 30 crores of ECLGS covered portfolio. And we continue to make collections on that. Our provisions in that today is about 15 crores out of the 30 crores.
So we have received around, like earlier you had told that around 45 crores was there, 9 crores we have received, and out of still 36 crores, around 15 crores we have received till now.
Yeah, that's the combination of the monies received by us and what we have also provided.
Then why is our other income still so much low, sir?
Other income will not have... Are you referring to other income or credit costs?
Other income, sir.
Oh, you're referring to PSLCs, right? So that's got nothing to do with the ECLGS pool. Okay. In the Q1, our PSLC income was 26 crores. And in Q2, typically as the market softens, we have made 6 crores of income from PSLC.
Okay, sir. Can we expect at a pre-provisioning level to touch around 600 crore this year, sir? And along with that... The provisioning figure which you are telling, the credit cost figure, that 230 to 240 crore, will it be a direct P&L item 240 crore which you are telling for this current year after deducting that ECLG, like CGFMU claim of 32 crores? Sir?
So on a full year basis, we will expect our pre-pop to be in the range of around 570-580 crores, right? And okay. We are talking about a projected credit cost of around 210-220. So that would mean on a PBT basis, we are talking of a 300 crore number and 225 of PAT.
Okay. Sir, earlier Bhaskar sir was telling that the CGFMU claim, like premium would always be higher than the claim what we make. But as far as the situation is going, sir, we are seeing more and more write-offs going on, sir. So I think it would be more of a beneficial thing than what we estimated, right?
What we, when we started the scheme, we did not really kind of link it directly to the claim should be higher than the premium rate. This is an investment for ensuring normalcy of the inclusive finance portfolio over a period of time. It is from a normalizing perspective not to really have any hiccups in terms of spikes. Irrespective of whether our credit cost will be at around 0.5-0.6%, which will lower than the premium, or the claims will be higher than the premium, that would be incidental based on the market. But our calculation was to create this, make sure this unsecured portfolio of 50%, which we are targeting, which currently is around 56%, is not really unsecured, and it is all for business purposes. And given that, we wanted to cover it as a safety net. We started this in the year FY23, when the projected credit losses in this portfolio would have been much lower. So we are at this point of time working out the economics, where we are looking at more like an insurance scheme. We are not taking an insurance only because that we will have the claims. It is to ensure and protect that the portfolio which is unsecured is indeed reasonably secured.
Okay, sir. On a net net basis, on some like on Q1 of FY26. Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
That you return to the question queue for follow up questions as there are several participants waiting for their turn.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Our next question is from the line of Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, a couple of questions. Firstly, can you share the proportion of your loan book, which is to proportion of your MFI loan book, which is to borrowers who have more than 4 lender associations?
From a principal outstanding point of view, currently it's around 25%. Of the book is about 4+, where we really see a direct linkage in terms of the stress is when it crosses around closer to 7 loans.
Okay, got it. And this is borrowers who have more than 4 lenders, right? Or does it include 4 as well?
1+4.
Okay, got it. And just a clarification, the 150 basis points of premium which you mentioned for CGFMU, that is on the disbursement amount. Is that right?
Yeah, over a period of 2 years. That's correct.
Sorry, what do you mean by 2 years? Can you explain that, please?
Our typical MFI loans have a door-to-door tenor of 2 years. So premium is being payable each year. On a rundown basis, it will be around 1.5% of the initial limit that is allotted to the customer.
Understood, sir. Perfect. Thanks a lot. Those are all the questions.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So just wanted to understand how are the collection trends in October in some of our key states, and which are the states wherein we are seeing the collection still lagging behind versus our average collection efficiency of 98%?
The likely increase currently as per the trend as of we see today is around closer to from 97.5%, it is likely to inch up. 97.7 was the JLG collection in September, 97.3 was in VL. Total IF portfolio was 97.5. We are kind of likely that we will be pinching closer to 98.5 and above, probably towards 99, but 98.5 is what we have visibility as we speak.
This is visibility for 3Q end or November end?
This is your November to November, November end on the current portfolio.
Got it, sir. And sir, this credit cost number that you highlighted is building in that thought process that we will be 98.5% by November.
Yes, that's correct.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Our next question is from the line of Mohan Raj from Trumians. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, I have one question from my side. Like, to get qualified for a universal banking license, so we need to maintain this GNPA under 3% for 2 consecutive years, right? So, how do you see that? Like, do you see any challenge there?
So currently, as we stated, that we are kind of focused in terms of given our size, in terms of creating a strong small finance bank. So, we aren't really kind of working out in terms of wanting to apply even for a universal bank in the next 1.5 years. So we are still very close to 3 and 1, and we shall continue to be, but it is irrespective of the fact that becomes the eligibility factor for applying for a universal banking license. At the end of the last financial year, we are under that, and we kind of based on our guidance and our own projections, we will be less than 3 and 1 at the end of this financial year as well. So technically, while we may qualify, but the intent is not to really be in a hurry to apply at this point of time.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Vatsal Paraksha from Nightstone Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. This is one question. What will be our PAR 0 to 30 book?
PAR 0 to 30 book in percentage. PAR 1 to 30
PAR 1 to 30
2.8. Got it. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Kushal Borlikar from HDFC Bank Limited. Please go ahead.
My question has been covered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, just wanted to understand, when you said in our book, around 25% of our borrowers have more than 4 plus lenders, and in terms of AUM exposure, how much that would be, and also what makes us confident of growing this year if the number of lenders is that this high? So wouldn't that fall off guardrails and we would not be able to refinance if they come for refinance?
So let Shashi answer the percentage, I think approximately 20%. What is the percentage of portfolio when 5 plus?
At the time of lending?
At the current layer,
yeah. It's about one-fifth of the portfolio. Lenders will be lower. Loan fees is one-fifth. Lenders will be less than 20%. Lenders-wise. There are lenders who are giving multiple loans in the market.
Shashi, about from a point of view of growth for H2, the more focus will be on the 2.5 lakh curated customers which fit into the guardrail, and over and above that in terms of scorecard, which will be the Vikas Loan customer graduating both from JSD as well as from within the Vikas Loan.
So technically you mean the individual lending book, which is not tagged as MFI book, technically, right? Because their household income are more than 3.5-4 lakhs.
I didn't get the question, did you?
Yeah, that's right. We will be basically focusing on growing the individual loan book. The growth in the MFI joint lending group book will be very, very moderate.
Shailesh, our Vikas Loan is already higher than our JLG book, and we consider not just the microfinance book, but also the retail book of applicant, co-applicant, and we build a propensity-based scorecard. And we project whether the customer is likely to be high risk, medium risk, low risk, and we filter out. We reject 17% of the customers who are on zero DPD across all loans. So that's otherwise in a standard DRE they will go through as a approved customer, but we reject them though they are clean on all loan tracks. So this is our scorecard.
So just to get that number right, is it 20% of the book or 25%? In terms of 5 plus lenders, 4 plus lenders.
In terms of the POS, it's around 25%, 26% of the POS is on 1 plus 5.
Okay. One more question from my side. Sir, in that case, what would be a normalized profit, ROA, ROE, credit cost, adjusting for CGFM, okay, same, suppose we take around 6 quarters horizon from now or 4 quarters when we have done with first half FY25 and the claim has kicked in?
So I think for this particular year, on a full year basis, we would be targeting about 2% of ROA and ROE in the range of 14 to 16%. That would be our guidance for the financial year.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alish.
Thank you very much, sir. So now, as that was the last question, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you for taking time. We wish to come back strongly on our performance in H2. Driven by the retail asset disbursements, and in terms of our inclusive finance, we'll continue to focus in terms of Vikas Loan graduated customer, so then the guardrails of MFIN as well as in terms of our own credit parameters. I wish to endeavor that we will kind of reach at least the lower end of the guidance in some of the profitable parameters. Thank you for your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Centrum Broking Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.